My text is in the Epistle to the Philippians, and the fourth chapter, and we're still in verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, I think for the last few months I've mentioned the city of Philippi so often that you feel that you almost know the place. That if we saw a photograph of the main street in that time, I reckon we would believe that we would recognize it. The church at Philippi, it was God's will that there should be a church there, a pagan city, and full of superstition. The sound is familiar to us today, but it was then as well. And the Christian faith, through the Apostle Paul, came to that city. And just to say this point this morning on that when he began to preach there, that there was opposition. At first, there seemed to be an acceptance by some, and then there was opposition. And when there is a work of God, a true work of God, there always will be a spiritual battle. And we know something of the battle that took place there, how they were whipped as preachers, and how they were placed in the inner prison, and the suffering that they went through. And also that is true of every one of us here. For all of us here this morning who have an experience of the grace of God and are able to say that we know that our sins are forgiven and that we are saved. That is, we know that we are going to heaven and we do not doubt it at all. There's bound to have been at that time some sort of battle. Sometimes the battle is fiercest in our own hearts. And where Satan is enticing us away, and the Holy Spirit is showing to us a Savior. And a battle goes on. Then, by God's grace, it proves to be irresistible, and we come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior. But even then, there's a battle. There may be in the home, if you're the first believer in your home, then there may be immediately opposition, or perhaps a little later. It depends on their attitude, but very often there can be opposition, and amongst relatives. And I'm sure that when most of us here went to tell our families, taking now that it wasn't a Christian home, or went to tell our relatives, that it would have been a very mixed reception. Not always maybe to our face, but certainly they would talk about us, and there would be disapproval, thinking that we had followed some strange cult, that we are taking it too far, whereas all that happened to us is that faith is born in our hearts. It's as simple as that. But the opposition to faith is incredible. Satan will allow belief, believism. And the world doesn't mind that. So long as you say, well, you know, I'm a believer and I go to chapel. And so long as you remain just like they are, do the same things, have the same interests, nothing really has happened to you except that you have just continued a kind of a believing. A kind of, I wouldn't say I didn't believe, but a believing. That will never bring opposition, and it will never get you to heaven. But when faith is born, and Satan hates that, because faith is a gift from God. Faith changes us, and faith reserves a place in heaven for us. Saving faith. And this had happened in the city of Philippi. And there was opposition. And there is an opposition as well, as you're thinking of this particular verse. Think on these things. The battle for the mind. We could say amen to that in the age that we are living in, that we can hardly switch anything on, radio, television, or look at an advert or see anything, that it is a battle for our mind, reaching out for maybe our lust or our desire for things. In some way or another, there is this battle for our minds. And there was a battle for their minds there. Fierce battle. And Satan will bring fear to their minds and say, your children may be martyred next. One of the families already gone. Or they might say, your business will go. Because you will not belong to the associations that they call the guilds that business people belong to with their dreadful orgies. And a Christian could not belong to them. And they say, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to be poor. You're going to starve and so on. And all sorts of fears. And then their young people also would get it from other young people. Why don't you run the way we run? Why don't you come to the kind of things we go to? Why don't you enjoy life like that? And they would also be also an object of an attack. There would be this battle for the mind. The mind could be gripped with the atmosphere of Philippi. And our minds can be gripped with the atmosphere of Cardiff or of Wales, or of Britain, or of Europe, or our present age, this wicked and perverse age, our minds can be gripped. Now then, what happens when a believer, when a person comes to a place of faith in Jesus Christ? Now what he's saying here, you are believers. I see that you have believed, and that you have that faith, that true faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now then, you say that your mind is molested all the while. Well, I'll tell you how to overcome that. Think on these things. And then we've been going week by week, haven't we? Through these, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Think about the one who is the truth, Jesus Christ. And truthful things. Whatsoever things are honest. Those things that are, the word there, remember, that we looked at was were solemn and dignified. Think on those things, not on the things that are flippant or undignified. Whatsoever things are just, fair and just. Whatsoever things are pure, clean in a dirty world. Whatsoever things are lovely. And last week we thought of the beauty of Christ and the beauty of Christ in the believer. Now this morning, whatsoever things are of good report. Now if you look at various translations of the Bible, you'll find different words. I'm not saying that they contradict. They do not contradict. What they are doing, they just take another aspect. But here, it's not so easy to find the same word. The same word only appears once in a different context in the Corinthian epistle, the word good report. But there are related words. And that's the best I found that I could do, related words. And they're all very good. Commendable. Approve. Those are the two main ones. There were others, but those I felt were very helpful. So when we think of good report, things that are commendable, things that can be approved. Now you'll find that in some versions in this epistle and also in other epistles as well. But shall we stay with the word we have in the scriptures here? Good reports, it is a commendable thing. A good report is something that is approved as well. So they're all saying the same thing. But I like the ring of them all. I like the sound of good report. I suppose of my familiarity with the scriptures in this authorized version, I immediately thought of Hebrews. And that's why I had the reading at the beginning. Let me read you just one verse in chapter 11 in Hebrews. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then towards the end of the chapter, speaking of their endurance, they obtained a good report. Now then, under the word good report, I could make, and you could make this morning, a list of things that are commendable of good reports. A list of things that are approved. And things that are of good report, that they are approved. And it would take a very long time, or it would take a very long series on one word to go through everything that is of good reports. Then I thought, what is the beginning of a good report? Anything good in us this morning, where did it spring from? Does it not spring from faith? And those men of faith in the scriptures are described as men and women of good reports. There were many things you could say were good about them. I'm sure they were kind. That's a good report. I'm sure they were generous. I'm sure they were thoughtful. I'm sure they were all those things. But they were only those things in the quality we are thinking of because they were men and women of faith. So in a sense, the source of the goodness of their reports would be that good report of faith. So I followed faith. And what I have this morning is this, the description of faith, the determination of faith, and the destination of faith. Just a simple message, just on the word faith, which I believe would be the basis of a good report. Now, faith. Now, what is faith? It's described by the writer to the Hebrews in this way. It is the substance of things hoped for. Now we're hoping for glory. On what grounds? On the solidarity of faith. Faith is our confidence. Now it just can't be this general little believism. It has to be this solid faith that came as a gift from God. In Hebrews it's described that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of this faith when it invades our hearts. Now this faith has a solidarity. It is a guarantee. And I saw a lovely description of this faith in some commentary some years ago. And it described this faith as the title deed. So that when you are given this faith by God, it's as if you could wave a little piece of paper and say, I've got the title deed of things hoped for. It is as sure as that. This faith cannot fail. This faith cannot die. This faith cannot dwindle. Because as it is given to us, it remains the same. It is a powerful thing. Now, here's one sentence I saw regarding it. It is lively and active and lays hold on those realities on which the hope, our hope is fixed. Now then, it is the title deed. Let's go over again. How do we get this title deed? I'm bound to say that. How did you come? Maybe you were a chapel goer before or a church goer. And yet you couldn't say that you were saved. If somebody asked you, are you going to heaven? You'd say, well, I hope so. I'm doing my best. What more can I do? We would say something like that. And that would mean that all we would have would be a vague belief. Not faith. Now there are many, and I hope all of us will be able to testify that there was a time in our lives when it changed. Something happened, and it became something that was so solid in our hearts. We knew that we believed. There was no hesitation in our hearts anymore. We would call it the time we were converted. Not merely now in a sense or something like that, but it was a spiritual thing where we were in agony for it, and at last he gave it to us, and we knew that we have what we call saving faith. And it came to our hearts. This faith is our title deed, nothing less. This faith is a substance for things hoped for. Now, when you have this faith in your heart, you can say, well, who made this faith? What is of my own abilities? No, the same epistle says that Christ himself is the author of the faith and the perfecter of the faith. This faith, it is possible to attend an evangelical church, a Christian church, all the days of your life with a vague kind of believing and yet not having had that touch of mercy from God where that faith came and change the direction of your life from hurtling to hell to walking steadfastly to heaven. This faith, if you haven't got it, plead for it, ask for it until God gives it you. Now, this faith is the solidarity. It's a title deed for things hoped for. Now, what am I hoping for? Now, this is what I'm hoping for, that one day when I stand before God, he will say, your sins were pardoned. I knew when I believed in Jesus Christ, I received the forgiveness of sins. But the confirmation of it is when I stand before God in the day of judgment. And so when I stand before God in the day of judgment, I am not without confidence. I have a confidence because this faith now is in my heart. I have faith for things hoped for. And God will say, yes, the blood of my Son did avail. You are clean. You are forgiven. There is in faith a title deed that I know that he will receive me. That I will be a forgiven person. That's a tremendous thing. What else is hoped for? It is this, that he will say to me, enter in. And that the everlasting and the eternal kingdom of glory, the inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for the believer, I'm able to say here on earth, this faith makes me so sure that when I stand before God on that day, before he says it, I know he will say it, that this kingdom is mine. It is the evidence in my own heart. It is the evidence of things at the moment which are not seen. Listen to the verse again in Hebrews. Now faith is the substance. The title deeds he gives us when he gives us faith is a title deed of things hoped for. In my heart, it is the evidence of things not seen. I haven't seen glory yet. I haven't heard his voice yet. Yet this faith is an evidence in my heart of things as yet which I do not see. Let me read you these verses that describes this very well from the epistle to second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 18 and then on to chapter 5 verse 1. It's a lovely passage. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They will pass. The things I can hold, touch, feel here, eventually they will pass. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Things that we do not see yet, our home in glory, our God, our Father. For we know that if we know, not doubts, by the way, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, there comes a time when this little body will die and the thing will perish. We know when that happens, we have a building of God, a house not made of hands, eternal in the heavens. We shall have a new body, a new place, a new glory. How can I be so sure of this? Faith. But that quality of faith that changes not only our direction from hell to glory, but transforms our lives and obedience springs from it. That faith. Make sure you have it. Now then, that's a description of faith. The determination of faith. When this faith is born in our hearts and we come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, from henceforth, we shall live a life of faith. We exercise faith in our daily lives. We shall live a life of faith. We already have this faith in our hearts. So he's saying, all right, this faith is a title deed for glory. But now then, use it whilst you're here on earth. Live trusting God. Now then, what about people in the past? How they live trusting God? Do we live trusting God? We may readily say, yes, I have that experience of the grace of God where faith is born and I know I'm going to glory. But are you able to say, in the most difficult of circumstances, and there have been in the lives of most of us, if not all of us, some circumstances that are difficult during our Christian life, and sorrows, difficulties, bereavement, sadness, all these things, and in that time, of course we are affected by them, but even in our circumstances, we've been able to say, I trust him. I'm exercising my faith. I trust him where I am today. Who knows what the present age will have for us. You know, at one time we were fearing that there might be some world wars. We don't know. Do men lose their viciousness? If a certain ideology fails, I don't think so. There'll be no improvement. It'll always be the same. There can be the fears of the whole economy of a world, a greedy world and disappearing resources. And that is there too. And we may have to live in a time like that. How shall we live? Shall we live in the miseries? No, we should live trusting. Our faith being exercised, trusting. Now, then there's evidence of this in the New Testament. Let me read you this passage in this particular epistle to the Hebrews, where it talks of what the early church went through. And it talks of men of good report who had faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's a reference to Daniel, for example, or anybody who suffered. Quenched the violence of fire. That's the young men that went into the fire in the book of Daniel, or any who were burned to death. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, received to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, their particular age was a time of persecution. There have been many persecutions of the church in other lands in our age as well. Not in our land, but in other lands. Times of persecution. Yet they obtained a good report. How did they get a good report? They exercised faith in this life. This faith, which is a title deed for glory, can also be used in all our circumstances in this life as well. Well, we will not all go through persecutions. Maybe the persecution of a bit of mockery here and there. But we have many trials. It was Peter who wrote and said these words. He says, you know, your faith can shine in this life. It will be tested, inevitably. Our faith will be tested. Do you remember this verse that says these words? Who are kept by the power of God through faith. You see, a believer, it may be persecution, as it would be in the early church, probably, but it could be other things. It could be that they were in difficulties, financial difficulties, imposed upon them by some unreasonable thing that may have happened. Who knows? All sorts of things. And that can happen to us. The circumstances of life. Now, how shall we respond? If we are Christian, if we have this title deed, if we have this faith, then we have this assurance that God will keep us through it all. God's power will be behind our faith. It won't be an idle trusting. It'll be trusting one who is reliable. He is reliable. So that in our daily lives, we can say, Lord, or speak to him as we walk. Pray without ceasing. Say, Lord, I need grace. I need strength. And he'd say to you, exercise your faith in me. Do you trust me? Do you trust me to see you through this day? And then I think for a moment, do I trust him? And if I'm just sitting down and worrying my little heart out, I'm not trusting him. Or if I'm pacing up and down and telling everybody about my anxieties, I'm not trusting. I'm just wearing my little soul out. So he says, sit down and think. Do you remember in this Philippian epistle, we looked at one verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then if he can get you to sit down and work it out, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If we are willing to work it out, now here are my circumstances today. Lord, they are overwhelming. And he says, trust me. How can I? You've got faith. I gave you faith. I gave you faith, but that was faith to believe to be saved. You can use it on earth. Exercise it. Trust me in every detail of your life, and I will keep you who are kept by the power of faith. Do you remember that lovely illustration I gave you when I was going through the series of revival? How the old Welsh people, and still some do this, would greet each other. They were the children, we called them the children of the revival, those who converted in the revival. And they would meet one another, and I heard this so often as a child. How are you? Being kept. That would be their answer. Cael fy nghadw. Being kept. What were they doing? Exercising their faith in whatever circumstances we are in. Who are kept? Who keeps us? God. How strong is it? By the power of God. A little ordinary believer. He'll see us through the circumstances of life. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Exercise it. Faith sometimes is tested. He says in verse 7 in that particular epistle that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now you might say, how is gold tried? Well, we know how it's tested for its purity and the intense heat and the sediment goes to the bottom. We know that. But there's another test of gold as well. How much will it buy? How much will it get? And eventually it's spent out. However pure it may have been, it's only gold. Much more precious than gold is faith. Much more precious. Use it and it doesn't wear out. Use it and use it again. And instead of fading away, it regains strength and momentum. And then when Jesus comes in the second coming and in glory, this faith will shine. Exercise your faith. Do you remember this hymn? If I may read to you this hymn on that point. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe, that will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain can lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. A faith that keeps the narrow way till life's last spark is fled, and with a pure and heavenly ray lights up the dying bed. Lord, give me such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, I taste e'en now the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. Then lastly and briefly, the destination of faith. There comes a time when faith is transformed. Faith takes us to glory. It takes us to the valley of the shadow of death. When it comes into the presence of God, it is transformed into sight. And we see him. For he who dies believing dies safely through thy love. A good report. I thought about this. That day when I shall stand before the judge of all, my God, and for you the same. Do you remember when, I'm speaking of my age now, or roughly older, maybe a little younger. Do you remember after a school term and examinations, you had to take in the junior school a school report? In the grammar school, it then became a book, and there was a page for each report, all very much the same. And I'm thinking of the school report, and all the marks were given, and the teacher would fold it up, make his comments, put it in an envelope, and give it you. Now, there was no saying, "Well, that's careless." No, it wasn't careless at all, because you had to return it signed, and they knew if who'd signed it. And so you take your report home, and you give it to your father, your mother, and they would read it. Now then, there would be all sorts of different marks, I know. But you would wait for a comment from them. It might be something like this. Well, as he says, you don't concentrate, do you? You better see to it. Or whatever it was, there would be a comment. But with this, it's different. We have a title deed. It is a report book. But you know what's inside? The death of Jesus Christ for our sins. Sins past, present, future forgiven. The life of Jesus Christ counting for us. It is a little title deed of faith. And the Father takes it and says, this is a good report. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yet that very faith changed our lives as well. Are you of good reports, or approved, or commendable, or good reports? Let me close by just reading these two verses to him. If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away, finding, following, keeping, struggling, is he sure to bless? Saints, apostles, prophets, martyrs, answer yes. To be of good report, think on these things. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of worshipping thee, for we worship thee in the preaching of the word and the hearing, and in the praying and the singing of our hymns, because we worship thee in our hearts, in spirit and in truth. Bless us, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Amen.